Welcome back, everybody, to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery, and I have with me Joe Sprono and Ashley McFeely. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm doing really
This is the Season 8 premiere.
It's an honor.
Yeah, it's very... You guys didn't even know that. We'd already wrapped up Season 7.
Oh, wow.
So that means this won't air for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Well, just let me know when it comes out.
Which is great because we're going to talk about going back to school. So by the time this airs, you guys will have already graduated with like bachelor's, master's,
PhDs. We'll be back
PhDs.
In school the second time, third time.
Right.
This is good. Yeah. We'll be so smart by then.
All right. No, this will probably sit for a few weeks. But you guys are going back to school or something as designers? Can you do that? Like I thought you get your bachelor's degree. You guys both have your bachelor's, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought you get that and then you just retire. Like you work for like 3-4 years, you make so much cash, you just retire.
You know, like honestly, that's pretty normal though for graphic designers. Just get your bachelor's and
if that
retiring,
anymore.
Though. Maybe not retire. Is that true?
Nobody retires from this profession.
I did.
Okay.
Touché.
Yeah,
not really though, because I'm still freelancing. I think honestly, the degree being a designer is not that important.
Yeah, I'm trying to even think. How many designers do I know that have their master's degree?
It's a low percentage, especially around here in Omaha. And I think part of it in Omaha is, can you even get a master's at one of the schools in Omaha?
No, okay. Not in design.
You can in Lincoln.
Right. It's not listed on their website. I think you can if you get if you do an MFA. I'm speaking sort of informally here, but I think you can get an MFA and then you can choose to specialize in design.
Gotcha.
As a sort of like under the table kind of
thing. So just to say like how rare I guess master's in design is, is we're fighting to find a place in an entire state that can get you one.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. When I was considering where to go, there was a chance that I could do a remote program and then I could stay in Omaha, but the school would be, you know, anywhere else.
Right. And I understand the remote thing, but it's hard and designed to get feedback directly from.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only a consideration for me if I wanted to teach and I had a full-time job lined up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't think the education would be as good. So.
And we last spoke to you. So now where are you going to school?
At the University of Washington, UW.
Okay.
He's making a sign with his fingers.
It's not natural yet, so you can tell you're still...
I'm a noob.
He's a freshman.
Yeah. Okay.
I just bought the hat the other day.
And Ashley, what are you doing?
You know, I'm going back for my master's, but not in graphic design. I'm doing it in communication to supplement graphic design. But it's just at UNO where I'm teaching.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't leave the area. Now what made you think to get a master's in communications instead of design or something?
Sure. Well, it's a little bit of, I've always wanted to get my master's anyway. I actually want to get my doctorate eventually. So,
you know, you get a master's in communications. You could like maybe start your own podcast.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't even think you need anything to start one of these things.
Just a microphone and a computer and a blanket.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how you got started in this, so
yeah, that's
just
right.
Following your footsteps.
Yeah, well, I went straight for the PhD, but yeah.
Right. Oh, right. I forgot your question.
What made you think to go back in communications?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so well, one was, I mean, what we talked about, the limitations here in Nebraska is that there's not options to do your get a master's for graphic design. Then the other thing is I don't want to do graphic design my whole life. So communication is in part with design. I mean, that's a lot of what design is communicating. But now it opens up a little bit more doors.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, with my interests.
And your interest has, I think, has always been in communication.
Communication.
And design has been a way to do that. Would you say that's
true? Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely agree with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long does it take? Joe, you're a full-time student now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley, you're still teaching as well.
Right.
So how long does it take if somebody thinks, hey, I want to go back and get my master's degree? Like, how much time do they have to carve out in their life here? Is this like a 10-year venture? Is this a 20-year venture? Is this like 3 months?
As a full-time student, it's 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are programs that are 3 years, and There might be programs that are 1 year, but 2 years is pretty standard for a Master of Design.
I'm planning on doing it in about 2.5 years just because I do full-time teach. So I started out with one class, but full-time as a master's student is 2 classes.
Okay, so that doesn't... I hear 2 classes.
2 classes a semester.
That sounds... Oh, just 2 classes, that's easy. But yeah. what's the biggest difference you guys have noticed then between your undergrad classes and your master's classes?
Oh, gosh. You want to start?
Yeah, sure. There's a really helpful standard of expectations that's set really high for us. Like, I like it, but it's just considered that we will be at the top of our game all the time. So there's...
I don't know if I've ever even been at the top of my game. Not even once.
I think by the end of this program, I will hopefully feel like I'm at the top of some kind of game. But in these classes, they're pushing us in that direction. And so they have these expectations for us that I think in asking those things from us that we will rise to that level. And so there's just a very, there's a really intense level of expectation in terms of how much reading we could handle, how much writing we could handle, the holding us accountable to in our conversations, like the specific words that we're using in order to articulate an idea, like you will get called out on, I don't know if that's really the right word for that, or did you really mean this instead, or challenging your arguments. There's just a very consistent accountability.
Does that come from the faculty, or does it come from your peers?
It comes from both. Mm-hmm. It comes from both. Okay. There are some people in the group with me.
How big is a group when you say this?
I have, like, 8. Do you also have 8?
I think we started out with 10 or 11, maybe. Yeah.
So it's a little smaller class sizes than an undergrad.
And
yeah,
we're
much more discussional.
Yeah, right. It's just a lot of conversations in our classes. So there's no lab time. Like, we aren't sitting at computers with each other. Like, we're always talking about something we've done, or we're discussing a reading, or discussing something we've written.
Yeah.
Just lots of talking.
Yeah, I'll back up what Joe said, too, just the expectations. Like, the difference between undergrad and grad is you're not surrounded by people that might be doing college, you know, out of obligation or because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. But it's a choice to do master's. And so you do get surrounded by people that are more driven. So if you start slacking, then, you know, like, people will take note. It's like there's an expectation, just this like undercurrent expectation that you are pushing, that you are doing your readings without being told, and that you are going above and beyond, and that you come to class and contribute to the class and to the discussion. Otherwise, you do feel really like a, you know, sore thumb, I guess.
Well, with the small groups, like, I'm just realizing this now, like, you can't sit in the shadows.
Yeah.
When you're sitting around a table and you're all talking about...
You can't get to the end of the critique and the teacher, like, starts counting pieces, like, who's isn't here? Oh, class is over.
Right.
It's immediately known. Like,
yeah, it's... I mean,
oh, Joe didn't hang anything up today.
Yeah. I mean, we sit around the same table in our seminar class where we discuss readings for the week, and then we write about them. And we generally all sit in the same spot. So, like, if a chair is empty, like, you know, like, oh, well, Jeff's not here today. Mm-hmm. And then our professors they're holding us accountable. So they're making sure that we're talking, and they'll ask us questions if we're not talking, but that's rarely been a problem. Like, we're all sort of, and having other people that are also doing the same thing that you're doing and they're working really hard, you also want to work hard. Like, I feel like I'm on a team.
Yeah.
Which
you're
is
surrounded
really
by
cool.
A lot of smart people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's motivating on its own.
Yeah.
In a way that I wish that I had that more as an undergrad. I wish that I had more pressure to be better as a student, because it's really motivating.
I'll talk to Drew about that. I'll, you know, him on why he didn't give you enough pressure.
Oh, well, Drew did.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, as an employee, like, I felt he held me accountable. My clients did. But as a student, like, being, like, just in my program, like, I just wanted more students who cared as much as the students that I'm surrounded by now do.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to be right back. All right, now I know you guys have small sample sizes, being that you're in classes of 7 or 8 people. But like, if someone's thinking about going back to grad school, like, is it are there more non-traditional than usual, or do some people like go straight through? Like, is there a pretty good mix, or is this?
Oh, like age range, it's a decent mix. Like, I'm in my 30s. There's a 2 or 3 that are in their 30s, 1 in their 50s. There are a lot that go straight from bachelor's, though, to grad.
Yeah, I think if I would have done it, I would have had to go straight through. I don't think I can go back now.
Yeah, I don't think I could have gone straight through. I think experience helps a lot, but everybody's different.
Right.
Yeah, in our program, their late 20s is the youngest, and at 35, I might be the oldest, but it's all pretty much in that range. And
I know these are small samples, but I was just trying to give people a feel for it.
Yeah, in terms of the value of having that professional perspective before you go back to school, like I feel totally different about school now than I did the first time, because I know where I'm headed. I know I've already filtered out what I'm interested in. I've already tried the things that I thought I wanted to do and changed my mind. And so as a student, like, I really know what's important to me that I'm reading, and what's not, and what I can bring to conversations. And I feel very focused in a way that gives school a lot of meaning for me.
I agree with that. Yeah, having the experience, like I said, prior to coming back does give you, well, it gives me at least more to bring to the conversation. And it gives me more focus. Like, I know what I'm writing my thesis about, where, you know, there are some that don't. And
That's true for me too.
It could be, again, a lot of reasons. It doesn't have to just be like I have experience and they don't, but
okay,
I think it helps.
You mentioned the word thesis. I know this probably scares this is one of those scary words that I think if people are considering going back or not, or if they want to move forward, they think like, well, there's a thesis. Like, how big of a project is this? Like, how much, like, in the design or communications field, how much is this going to destroy you? Like, is this going to kill your soul? Like you just hear these words and you think that it's this project that there's no way you can undertake.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'll start with communication. We actually have a choice between writing a thesis paper versus doing a project. And it's different.
I would recommend just doing a podcast episode and trying to, maybe you can just submit this in as your thesis. I think you could support that with a good 3-4 paragraphs of copy and skim by with maybe a CC+.
Well, congratulations on your thesis. It's coming along.
This
great.
Is the best thesis I've ever heard.
This is easy. I don't know what they were talking about. I mean, this is pretty naive because, I mean, I've gone through one semester
But you know it's there. Big thing at the end of the
you get to defend, like, it's what you want to do with your paper, and you get to defend it to other faculty, like a board of your choosing, and if they think that's a good idea and like worthy of research, then they say go for it. So I mean, it's could be pressure, but I would also think, you know, the way school is structured, that by the time you get there, you're set up for it, you're ready. You know, to do that. And so you can start sweating it out as a freshman or like incoming grad, or even like before you begin your grad studies, and, you know, have that scare you away. But school sets you up for what's going to happen. You're going to be equipped by the time you get there.
Yeah. And our entire program is geared towards pushing us in that direction. We start to read and write, and then we start to seriously consider what our thesis might be. And then by the end of the first year, we've written a proposal for our thesis. And then the second year is all about the thesis. And in my program, we do a project. So we actually are in the gallery. We'll exhibit something, and then we have to write about it also. So there's a written and a physical component to our thesis. But it's also, I'm excited about it. Like, so that's the other thing, is that the thesis for my undergrad was something that I was interested in, but I wasn't like personally invested, like, intending to pursue it afterwards. Like, it was sort of the finale of my education. But my thesis for grad school.
Yeah, I think if for the programs that have a senior show in design in an undergrad, it's just kind of like it's I always saw it as it's a big project. Now it can be more than that. Yeah. But most people are like, this is just a big project I worked on. It's bigger than anything else I've done, but but once it's done, it's like any other thing. It's like, okay, on to the next one.
Right. And that is, yeah, your show is like you're celebrating being done, and then like,
this is what I can do. It's not what I'm going to do again, but it's what I could do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And my thesis, I'm intending very specifically that it's like the first major step in my long-term goals. Like I'm intending for grad school to be like this, like I'm setting my stake in the ground. I'm investing everything that I have into this thing. And it's like the beginning rather than the end of something. And so it also doesn't feel that scary to me because I'm like, it's something that I want to do really badly. Like I'm just excited about the thesis. So it's not even just like an assignment. It's like, no, I'm glad you're asking me because I was intending to do that anyway.
Okay. And when is, so do you start on it the whole second year then for you? You
said? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm intending to start early because.
And I guess I say second year, but a lot of projects take a semester, a year, and it's really only two semesters, right?
Yeah, yeah, and UW's on the quarter program, so we'll have three quarters, but it's the same length of time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be, well, it's September through June would be the year, the academic year that I would do my thesis in.
It's always fun to me because in school terms, I always hear these things, and it seems like forever, but you were in the real world, both of you, and I've been in the real, the quote, real world, or whatever. Projects that are much smaller.
We're there right now.
Yeah. For a second on that.
I mean, in the...
I've been in that real world.
I mean, as a working designer, you have small projects that for one reason or another take a year and a half, and you shouldn't.
Mm.
Right.
It can take a year to get client feedback.
Yeah.
It's rare, but it's happened where you're like, is that client ever going to call us back? Right. And they call you back and you're like, I thought they'd kill the project. But
yeah.
They didn't.
So
I guess now that I think of it that way, it's when I was in school,
you've done a thesis.
When I was in school, any single project that took more than a month was a huge one. And,
right. In the real world, that's pretty common.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Perspective-wise, that's a good way of looking at grad school, too. It's just one more project to get you, like Joe said, to where you know, the next thing that you want to actually do. So you build upon it. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense.
Does it?
Yeah. It's, they're stepping stones. Like you were just telling me about the paper that you wrote for your class this semester and about how it's very specifically something that you're interested in and that you're intending to build on those ideas and whatever the next project that you do.
Yeah, every paper I'm writing in my class, I'm going to take advantage of that builds to my thesis.
Yeah, and the same for me. Do you want to talk about what you're interested in?
I'm very interested in education, and that came about from teaching graphic design. So there's definitely a link between graphic design and what I'm pursuing. Besides just graphic design, it's like visual communication. You're communicating something. So I'm going back to, ultimately take a more, I suppose, critical look at our education systems here in the U.S. and the way we go about learning and what we've just adopted for the sake of we've always done it this way versus what would actually be beneficial for the way that we could change learning. Right now, it's like a very pertinent, I think, with all the school reform talk and just want to bring awareness to different options to our education. So I'm starting out with things about like alternative learning and unschooling and homeschooling, which seems like a really far departure from graphic design. But given my background with graphic design, I just see a ton of connections. So probably too many to like say right now, but it's interesting and it's fun how connected, you know, things can be when you dive deep into one area and then you start diving deep into another area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll talk about my interest in a second, but that's one thing about grad school that is really interesting is that although the eight of us in our group are all designers, we're focusing on very specific things about design, or we're utilizing design in a way that the end result may be considered something very different, but we're using design in order to communicate that thing. And that's something that's really neat about grad school is that design is understood sort of fundamentally, but we're using it all in different ways and we're all doing different projects. And there's just a lot of diversity that's just super interesting. And so you start to think about design in ways that may have seemed really foreign until you hear someone talk about it for a year, where, or in my case, 3 months so far. But it's like, but I, like, for instance, I mean, there's a woman in my program who was talking about, her paper was on civic hacking, where they're, you know, a hackathon using public data in order to design some kind of solution over a weekend.
Sure.
And her interest in that is design as sort of the thing that enables these projects to exist. But her interest is really the civic angle about the importance of people taking action as citizens. And that's really what she's interested in. And then design is sort of the facilitator of that thing.
Right. I think I'll jump in on that too. You know, that's like again, a big motivator for going back to grad school is that, and my angle about education is that the undergrad universities, they're ultimately designed to equip students to go out into the workforce, you know, to get a job. And so all the things that you learn in the classroom is basically like, here's tools to help you when you get a job. And when you get into grad school, it's no longer about the job focus. You know, it is more about the, what can you do with what you're interested in?
Yeah.
You know, and there's, right. again, yeah. so many connections with the different ways of learning, you know, but that, I think that's, again, one of my biggest criticisms and probably one of, well, anyway, that's what I'm seeing as connections. Is,
yeah.
You know, you're being set up to get a job in undergrad. And in grad, you're getting set up to go do something different.
Like, yeah.
Like think of something different.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's sort of like, it feels like, for lack of a more appropriate word, maybe it's like an incubator where it's like you have this thing that you're really motivated to pursue. And then you have all of these resources and all these people that are pushing you to like really get into that and make the most of that idea. And in order to do something that, like, when you come out of grad school, hopefully you'll contribute something back to the world that's new.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because, especially in the design field, because getting a master's in this field, other than the fact that you can then teach full time at, like, a university.
Yeah.
There's not.
Yeah, which is
it's a bonus. It's not like any in-house jobs or any studio jobs. Like, they may weigh your knowledge and your better portfolio and what you've learned, but they're not going to weigh the fact that you have a master's in design over.
Right.
Just a bachelor's and associate's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's designers out there that don't even have their bachelor's in design.
Yeah.
I mean, not as common, but it still happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's only going to become more common. I mean, as developers, this sort of like our sister trade,
right.
like a lot of developers don't, it's totally unnecessary to go to school because those things you can learn pretty easily online if you're committed to it. And I think that's probably going to become more common as designers, too.
Look at us as teachers talking about not going to school.
Well, we always have job shadows. And the one place around here that sends them like a list of questions they have to ask. And one is always like, how important is your degree and stuff? And it's always like, I always have to pause before I answer it because I'm telling them that there's a lot of places in town that they're just blanket is for all positions, like in-house places, like, well, you have to have a bachelor's.
Right.
They don't care what it's in, but you
right,
have to have
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
But like all the studios and stuff, they don't really care.
Right.
But I always pause and it's like, you're not helping yourself by not going to school because the skills you need, you have to learn somewhere.
Right.
And school, if you actually pay attention, is the easiest way to learn them, the skills.
Yeah, I agree.
So
yeah, it's really the things that school provides students are projects to work on. This is a framework within which you can solve some design problems.
Free critiques.
Yep, critiques essential. Getting feedback on your work in order
community,
to improve.
Yeah.
Yeah, having other people to
network
move forward with. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole. And those are things that I've talked to many people who don't have them. They drop down or never went to school, but everyone that I talked to that did it that way, they never tell me like, oh, that's the way to go. They're like, oh, it's probably harder.
Yeah. You have to create that environment for yourself.
Yeah.
Which is harder to do.
Coming up with your own projects and.
Yeah.
You have to be really self-motivated. Inspiration. Yeah. Cause you'd have to, where do you find your inspiration? There's so much just from teaching class that I get so motivated or inspired by, what my students are doing, even different perspectives.
Yeah.
Designs.
Yeah. So the degree itself is not a requirement, but I think in order to improve as a designer, you have to have all the elements that school provides. You know, it's not, because even if a company is looking for that they have the bachelor's requirement, I don't think that's what they really mean. Like they don't want the piece of paper. They want the experience that's assumed to having gotten to that
point. Well, I think the companies I know that have that, they're not really design companies. It just happens that they can make that requirement.
Yeah.
Because everyone else, they're like, no, we want people to have so much education. If we can ask for them, we get enough applicants, why wouldn't we?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So they just put it as a blanket statement.
Right, right. And not that it's even inappropriate. I mean, if they're getting enough applicants, then why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, I...
Wasn't it years ago some like New York cab company was like, you have to have a master's or a doctorate to drive the cabs here? And they found out they got enough people, they just did it. Something.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, why not?
That's awesome.
I feel the same way about teaching. I mean, I applied for a full-time teaching position, and I couldn't get interviewed for the position because I didn't have a master's degree. And I understand the requirement in terms of upholding the university's stature.
Right.
But I think I know quite a bit about teaching, having just done it part-time. And I don't feel like the master's degree is necessarily going to make me a better teacher. I think it's going to make me a much better thinker. But I think that requirement, it just assumes a level of dedication to one thing that is valuable. And so I don't discount the requirement, but.
Well, we've all at one time taught at Metro here, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think like in the business area, you have to have an MBA, but in design, you just have to have an associate's because they can't, there just aren't enough people.
Right. To teach.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think for the full-time faculty there, they actually required a couple years of
experience
mm-hmm.
and a bachelor's,
right?
Where the university requires a master's and no experience,
right? Yeah.
So it's just varies, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone wants something different.
And that's the idea at the school level, that you have a degree beyond what the degree is that you're actually teaching, which makes sense. You know, if you're teaching at a community college that provides just an associate's, that you would have a bachelor's. And if you're teaching at a university that provides a bachelor's, that you would have a master's.
For their tenure track positions, anyway. At the universities.
For all positions.
Oh, I mean, you can teach an adjunct or something, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, for faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. But it does go back to what Joe said. You know, I think I agree with that a lot, that it's the assumption that comes along with the degree. Like, it's assumed that if you went through that experience, then you are just more prepared for the job, more so than the degree.
A little bit of a guarantee, I think.
All right. Well, we're going to take one final break. We'll be right back with Ashley and Joe. So what was the biggest shock on the system going back, like day-to-day activity stuff? Like waking up at a certain hour, having to stay up past a certain hour?
Where I'm at, staying up. Where I'm at, it's mostly night classes for grad classes. And I think that's kind of normal just because they are grad classes and it's more assumed that it's full-time, you know, people with full-time jobs elsewhere. As an instructor, I teach actually at the university that I'm also going back for my master's degree. So the biggest shock for me was I had a class that ended at 5:45, and then a class that I was teaching that ended at 5:45, and then my grad class began at 6. So I had 15 minutes to go from being Professor McFeely to being Ashley. And it's a big jump. Like it's just weird, you know, to be like, you're no longer instructing.
Now you at least, since you moved to communications for your master's anyway, you at least have to go to a different building
right?
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not like you just go to the next classroom and then you're
I go from sitting at the instructor desk to sitting in a desk.
Same room.
Just get a swivel chair, call it good.
But it's hard because you go from like, instructing and being on top and, like, you know, like, as far as, you know, making sure everybody's, like, has their stuff that they need and, like, you're instructing everybody and you're giving the projects. So, like, now you're sitting and you're listening and you're taking instructions in 15 minutes.
Okay. For me? The environment is very, at UW, and this is what I had hoped for, is really academic. It's when we were talking about design at such a high level that most days we aren't talking about any specific kind of design. We aren't talking about graphic design or industrial design or architecture, like, for very long. We might bring up examples of those things to illustrate a point, but most of the time we're talking about design at just a really, really high level. And the shock has been adjusting to that, being an academic, maybe for the first time ever, where, like, you're just really talking about ideas.
Yeah, I don't know what a class would be like without a lab. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, we just talk.
I mean, how do you spend all your class time looking at Facebook if there's no lab time?
Yeah, right. There's not a lot of that. Not at all. I mean, there's no computers in the two main classrooms, our two grad classrooms. There are no computers in those rooms.
Same here, yeah.
Man.
Which is, it's, I mean, what I wanted was to be introduced to a new level of design that I hadn't really considered before. And
it's not design if there's no computers. That's all I know. It's, it's a level of, you know, just fake stuff.
How long are your classes?
It's 2.5 hours.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay,
I'm
yeah.
never going back.
No, my class is from, 2 hours, 40 minutes, and it flies by.
Yeah.
Because it's
2.5 hours in the lab, I'm out. I'm done. You guys talk me out of it.
Well, this podcast has been going on for like 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's flown by.
Yeah, actually, I think we're on hour 8 by now or something.
We're in grad school right now.
Okay.
This is what it feels like.
You guys just need to put a mic in front of it and it just goes twice as fast.
Free podcast.
Yeah.
No, actually...
They won't realize that Ashley's class time is actually also her thesis. It's going to be great.
Brilliant.
And a project. I'll just throw them all through together.
Yeah. It really is fun to read things that are being written currently on what design means and what it can do potentially for the world and how it's changing. And having those conversations is really, it's opened my mind to just a new dimension of design that I assumed was there, but I hadn't found it yet.
Right.
And there are a lot of academic design journals that are not showing pictures of things. That
where does someone who doesn't want to go back to grad school go to, like, locate one of these journals? Or, like, where's the best, any resources that you can throw out there for those?
Well, we at UW, being students, we have access to journal catalogs, mm-hmm. digital things that we have free access to. So I assume that every university probably has access to the same databases. So just searching for a design journal, and there's a dozen current journals that are writing about things academically.
Yeah. Stephen Heller's probably writing 8 of them himself. That's right. What I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true for communication too, is it's an online database. And I've found through my degree pursue, I would love to just read. Like, you were asking about the schedule and how it affects. Like, there is a mass amount of reading. And I've always been a reader, so I love it. It's the writing part that's been more of an adjustment for me. Mostly because as designers, we don't have to... I mean, we write. Hopefully we're writing, you know, rationale about our design and being able to articulate if we have to do email, conversations with our clients, things like that. But it's a lot of writing, and it's a structured kind of writing, and it's like an APA type of writing. So that's been the biggest
sources.
Adjustment. And, like, the artist in me, the creative in me is like, I don't want to write that way. You know, like, I don't want to be the structured and go what everybody else is doing. So it's been a little bit difficult. PowerPoint. Can I just go off on this for a second?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
okay, this is
as long as you're not saying anything positive about PowerPoint, okay. We're going to let you go.
This is where my heart breaks. PowerPoint, we have to do PowerPoint. In communication, there's certain templates that they use, and they put paragraphs on their screens, and I refuse to do it. So maybe I'll be a trailblazer for any other designers that want to get into communication. Mm-hmm. But I put pictures on my screens and then I talk and I say all the information I'm supposed to, and I don't get A's on my presentations, even though I think I'm a pretty darn good presenter. But I'm not going to conform. I'm not going to put paragraphs on my slides. So take that.
That could
communications.
Be the most important thing you could do is to change the way that people use PowerPoint.
Well, I hope that by my rants, by the end of it, they'll be like, you know, Ashley, you're right. We shouldn't be putting paragraphs on our PowerPoint. So every time before I present, I let them know. I'm like, well, my PowerPoint doesn't look like your PowerPoint.
Way to
and
go.
And this is why.
I think they like it because when I've spoken a few times, I've had some people ask, like, hey, can I get a copy of your presentation? It's like, it's completely worthless because there's nothing but photos in it. All
the
content
on the slide,
was,
and there's a can of Mountain Dew on the next slide.
There is normally at least one Mountain Dew can in every presentation, and there is, and but there's without the what's being said behind it.
Yeah.
What's they're worthless.
Yeah. But
that's what makes
it
them memorable. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why they communication now. They're like they me. But I think they do that, you know, put the paragraphs on there because then they do handouts where they print out the PowerPoints and then all the information is there. So when I do my handouts, I have to make a whole new handout, which is fine with me. Like, I love laying out text.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want to
put all that text in the notes part of the PowerPoint just for you and stuff, who cares?
But whatever.
Yeah, people are just sitting there reading your presentation. It's terrible.
The worst. Yeah.
Even in the design program, I've gotten the other students have been teasing me about how little I put on my slides, because when I prepare presentations for classes, in order for students to really like focus in on, okay, step one is this, step two is this, I will separate those things out into separate slides so I can talk about those steps independently, and then I'll summarize it all at the end. And the other students in my grad program have been teasing me about how large the text is on my slides and how I'm making more slides rather than putting several things on one slide and talking about each of those pieces. And I think those are just different presentation strategies about, do you focus on one big idea on this slide, or do you put a lot of little things and then point those little things out? And personally, I think it's more effective to chunk those things out into like little manageable pieces and focus on just that one thing.
One point per slide. I'm
yeah.
all for that.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing, and the other students have been teasing
me. I would agree, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been fun. I call it, my design sense is very chunky. I like to, like, really, like, chunk things together into pieces that seem, like, really intelligible and not intimidating whatsoever. And when you put that into a presentation format, you know, suddenly you have 40 slides where there's maybe only, you know, one paragraph of information total. But I think it's a really important way to communicate. It's just to, like, say, this is what I want you to think about right now. Just this one thing. And I'll tell you something else after you're done thinking about that.
No, I would agree.
Yeah.
And then I'll show you a can of Mountain Dew. All right. Well, Joe, Ashley, thank you very much. Best of luck in your grad school. We'll have to have you back to give us a recap here in a bit.
Yeah.
Also to help Ashley finish up her thesis by the second half of the podcast.
Let's get it done.
All right.
Thanks,
Donovan. Thank you.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by DustLab. Find out more at myspace.com/DustLab.